Okay, so this is in many ways our final shiur, I think, on the thought of Moshe. And I want to speak about something which is, in my mind, incredibly intriguing. Here, we're not speaking about Rav Moshe as much as the Baal Machshava, as much as the way that Rav Moshe perceived America. I didn't have enough time to do a really good job as far as like tracing the different years tshuvas were written and whether Rav Moshe's take on things shifted over time. But to put together a bunch of different tshuvas of Rav Moshe, I had to get a handle a little bit on how he related to America and what are the opportunities and what are the challenges. It's probably appropriate on some level in like an Erev Parsha Shlach, I guess, for Meraglim and Eretz Yisrael and things like that. It's definitely stam important, especially because many of us, although not all, but many of us come from and many of us are going back to America. And I think either way, it gives us, I think, some very, very good insight. I want to start with just a couple of things to frame the issue a little bit. There's a very well-known journal, a Torah journal in the 20th century in America, Hatardes. In 1936, Rav Moshe Feinstein lands in America. Rav Moshe lands in America, I believe Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of the Rav, a cousin of Rav Moshe's, is there waiting to welcome Rav Moshe. Hapardes describes the scene when Rav Moshe finally comes to America. He's coming to America already recognized as a major Torah figure, although nowhere near what he would eventually become as far as recognition. It says, B'yamim elu bal America harav hagon hagadol, Rav Moshe Feinstein Shlita, Rav Moshe already in Europe is known as an Adam Gadol. Baki Nifla b'chol haTalmud b'Bavli of Yerushalmi. Rav Moshe 1936. This is 50 years before he passes away. Rav Moshe already is recognized as a tremendous Baki. Poskim Rishonim v'Achronim, and it says that they were mechabed him to give shir in Yeshiva Shabbat Yitzchak Kochanan. V'chol Roshei Yeshivos v'Rabbeinu Ha'ir. His view oneg nishiuru hagadol, that the Rosh Yeshiva came to hear this new, relatively young Talmud Chacham, who's coming to America to give shiurim. They were all incredibly a pleasurable experience from hearing from his chidush of haneflaim. B'tikva asher yimtza, with the hope that Moshe will find makum rabbanus, a place to be able to get a job. Asher yukol ha-shmiya hod kol torasa v'kum yakiru hod gedulasa. Moshe comes to America. He doesn't have that much of a job lined up at all. It's a new place, and it's not so clear what he's going to do. He has different options for where he can be a Shiva type. He decides to open MTJ and to go there to the Lower East Side, which is where he would be for the rest of his life. And Rav Moshe enters America in the 1930s. We got to understand a little bit in terms of what America was like in the 1930s. I'm going to try to paint a picture from a couple of different sources. A combination of a well-known academic article written by Professor Jeffrey Gurak, who's one of the great scholars of American Jewish history, and article biographies. We'll put those two together and gain some good insight into what America looked like in the 1930s. It'll give us a little bit of a unified perspective. Professor Gurak happens to be, I have no shaykh to him at all, but when I was a kid in elementary school, I was very friendly with his son and spent a bunch of Shabbos at his house, but I've not had interaction with him in about 20 plus years. The article is titled 20th Century American Orthodoxy's Era of Non-Observers, 1900-1960. America is not doing well in the early, the first half of the 20th century. Moshe enters America that is it's not in a good place religiously. Many of us may know by the 1950s, etc., the conservative movement is much more powerful. Sociologists predicting Orthodoxy may not be that successful. It's going to be the conservative Jews that are going to take things over. And you have a lot of Jews who are davening Orthodox shuls who identify on some levels Orthodox, but are anything but. And you have people who feel like if they daven Orthodox shul, yamim neran time, or if they go to shul on Shabbos, despite the fact that their store may be open on Shabbos, they feel like that's sufficient to identify at some level as Orthodox. And the community has very, very little. There's very, very little going on in the community there. Pshaga Feivel Mendelovich, and here I'll shift to in the article biography about him, it's a fantastic one. Pshaga Feivel, who is the founder of Torah V'das and one of the people who really, in many ways, they call here the architect of Torah in America, founder of many, many yeshivas. Shob Shaga Feivel comes to America, and he asks a shaila to the Ger Rebbe and to the Rugachever about whether he should be focusing much more in his own personal shlemus or dedicating himself much more to the klal. And they tell him that he should be dedicating himself much more to the klal. This is where America's at. One of the first things that Rav Shaga Feivel does, it's in the biography on page 50 to 54. One of the first things he does is he plans to open a newspaper. At the time in America, the Yiddish press, there were a lot of people would get their news from papers and the like, and there were many of them were not pro-Orthodox at all. And that was what people were reading, and that was going to set a certain tone. So he founds a newspaper. He borrows money. He borrows, the number they have here is $10,000, which at that time was the equivalent of 8 years' salary. For years, he was saddled with debt as a result of that, and others got his backing. Also, he opened this newspaper called the Yiddish Light. In the first edition of the newspaper, this is 1923, which is an insight into what America was like. He describes the purpose of the newspaper in the first editorial, which they think may have been written by Reb Shaka Feivel. The paper's goal of casting light of Torah and Emunah on the situation in America. The editors expressed their conviction that American Jews, like their ancestors in Europe, had reached the 49th level of Tumah, and time was running out for American Jewry. When they were looking at American Jewry, people looked at it as if this is like Mamish Memtash Shari Tumah, one of the more famous Misas that you have about American Jewry in the state. It's an unbelievably inspiring Misa. First time I think I heard it was from Rav Aaron Kahn, one of the Shiva YU editions Friday night. But it's a very famous Misa that Rav Bloch, that tells the Rosh Hashiva, went in during the war years, quote unquote. He went to buy a copy of Ketzos. Many of us are going farm shopping today, or judging by the tremendous amount of boxes outside, have already gone farm shopping. And he went to a Mocher Sfarm in the Lower East Side. I don't know if we know this Misa. We know this Misa? Some of us do, at least, I hope. Yeah, I got one nod, the first one I looked at. Other than that, it was a lot of nods. So he asked if he could buy a ktsos in the Mocher Sfarm. Mocher Sfarm, the way the story goes, climbs up, takes down the ktsos, blows off the dirt, and says with a tear in his eyes, "I believe this is the last ktsos that will ever be sold in America. Because this is the last, and there's no way we're ever going to have to reprint this." And Rav Bloch responds with, you know, a statement of conviction, you know, we're going to do this okay. And many of us have spent time in Batei Medrash in America, or homes in America, where there are multiple editions of Ketzos that are found, and you can find them, you know, very, very easily all over the place. But America, 1930s, 40s, 50s, this is an America in which people are predicting, I don't know how long this is going to last for. And if Moshe hits America at that stage, you have the beginning of a variety of yeshivas, but Rav Moshe is coming in many ways with Klal Yisrael is Zoha at that time to a variety of Gedolei Yisrael and a variety of incredibly influential lay leaders and people that are Moser Nefesh to get things done. But for a long time, to even appreciate this, for a long time, there are questions about, like, who's the first American-born Gadol? Who are the people that are born in America? Like, can it produce? Is it like an Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehi? Can it produce greatness? Or is America entirely incapable of producing? Like, can it do that at all? That's sort of the background. So you have a couple of yeshivas that are opening. They're not yet as powerful. Day schools. It's hard to find day schools. Rav Gifter, I'm sorry, I guess you got to get the background, so you appreciate this. We'll speak of Rav Gifter tonight. But Rav Gifter is born in Virginia. His family moves to Baltimore. Rav Gifter is in elementary school. The way they write, at least in the books, that outside of the New York area, so sometimes there's a certain condescension New Yorkers have towards others. So think about that era. Early 20th century, in that kufa, there were not Jewish day schools, full-time Jewish day schools, that much outside of the New York area. Rav Gifter is going to public school until he gets to high school, when he has the chus of going to MTA, and, you know, Zach and Dad will be following his footsteps. But when he's in Baltimore public school, going to Hebrew school afterwards. You know, through 8th grade, he's learned one daf of Gemara. There's not a lot going on outside. And that's the America that we're talking about. So how does Rav Moshe relate to America? So let's try to cultivate a certain kind of nuanced approach. You got to realize also, these Gedolim from Europe, they're coming from Europe. So the governments in Europe, different scene. The communists in Russia, you know, Rav Moshe lost some of his ksavim as a result. It was not safe to be in some of these places in Europe. So what you have sometimes, I think there are those who suggest, is that it becomes hard sometimes, we'll see this next year, some of us, when we learn Din Mechus Din and Meseches Gittin, but you have some Rishonim that talk about, you know, what do you do with, like, unjust governments? Is Din Mechus Din applicable when you have a government, like a communist government in Russia, especially in certain eras where it's undoubtedly, like, is that binding at all? Or is an unjust, that kind of government, not even there at all? And suddenly Rose comes to America, and America's complex. And America's complex. Let's try to understand where Rav Moshe is in America. Let's start with source number four in the sheet, Tshuva Rav Moshe, Negros Moshe, and Choshen Mishpat. It's a very famous tshuva, I think. It's a famous tshuva, and it's a sad tshuva, but it's a famous one. Israel Moses Torah Likach Mayim Shala Yosher Mikfiat Tanaim Shakava. So, yeshiva sometimes wanted to know, could they basically maneuver the system to get more money, more government funding? The government gives their money based on how many talmidim are there. So can you maneuver things a little bit? Maybe there's a guy who's going to help you who's in the system. Maybe you're going to lie on the forms a little bit. Can you do anything to get some extra money from the government? So I'll just cut the punchline. The answer is no, says Moshe. But let's try to get the way he says it is fascinating. Look how he speaks about America. Hinei b'davar neni ha-chesed asher ha-memshal shalonu v'artos ha-brisha be-America. Shashem yisbarach b'rachamav ha-merubim al she'eris ha-pleta mi-yehudei kol medinos Europe v'she'eris gedolei ha-tor v'tzimidein he-viyu l'kan. Says Rav Moshe, the chesed of America, that America with tremendous mercy, with the bonus olam, has allowed Klal Yisrael, so many members of Klal Yisrael, so many gedolei Torah, so many people, Jews, to come to America, and to establish Mekomos HaTorah. Some old ones from Europe that get reestablished here. Tells is an old one from Europe that gets reestablished. Mir and Brook, some new ones. Torah Vadas is a new one. Why use a new one? Vaidei Shem Malchus Shel Chesed Zu. America is a Malchus of Chesed. Why? Shekol Matarasa Hu Lehativ L'chol Toshvei HaMedina HaMetzia Kama Inyanim Shel Programin Lazar L'Talmidim Shebechol Bati HaSefer Shebedina Sheyuchu Lomu L'Z Gadol B'Limudim. What's America doing? They give you money for your schools. That's Chesed, to have these programs that people are going to be able to be okay. It's like a place that has welfare programs, to be able that people who are struggling can get a certain kind of work. That's a malchus of chesed, says Rav Moshe. Shagam motos ha-tori yisrael as a gedol talmideim. So first of all, vadai, kol roshei yeshivas ha-menahalim v'talmidim, makirim b'chol tovos ha-medina, u'mivarachim l'shlom ha-medina, u'l'chol ha-omdim b'rosha b'chol ha-brachos. Says Rav Moshe, step number one, America has been very supportive. It's been a place where the Ribbono Shel Olam, through his chesed, has allowed Jews to come and learn, says Rav Moshe. Number two, it's a place where we should have Hakaras HaTov, because they're trying to have programs to help us. Like, that's actually the goal. Part of democracy, it's about that. It's a government by the people, for the people. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's trying. It's very, very different from the model of a monarchy, at least when a monarchy is somewhat distorted, although I guess democracy could also be distorted, but what some governments are primarily about the elite and maintaining the elite and their control and their power. No one thinks that North Korea is a government by the people, and no one thinks it's a government for the people. Russia, where Moshe is in Europe, is not a government for the people. America, it's for the people. And you experience it despite the fact that there are obviously tremendous debates, but one gets that feeling a little bit from Rav Moshe. He says, undoubtedly we can't take more. There are Yisurim here. He says, then Shachas v'shalom l'nechtu v'shi yeshivas v'nalim shem yirishamayim lavor al-suri gezel v'imre sheker. For sure it's not okay. But you see, one of the ways that Rav Moshe relates to America have a little bit hakaras hatov. Rav Moshe goes on to say, and this is part of what it means to be there, a Jew, though, is somewhat in galus. A Jew's in galus. We benefit from America, but we know that we're not the majority. We're the minority there. Moshe, Igris Moshe, Yoredeya, Beis, Nun Gimel. Echad Shaparnasasa, Lios Morib, Bati HaSefer, Shahamadina. He asked one that teaches in a government school, and he's supposed to teach like medieval thought, and some that's supposed to be speaking about religions, other religions. And as I went to Moshe, what do? You're a teacher in a school, a government school. Your profession is you have to teach about other religions. Am I allowed to do that? Am I not allowed to do that? There are chashashos of avodah zara, chashashos of kfira. Am I allowed to or not allowed to? So Moshe writes here, it's in source number five here, at the end, v'im kein, k'shetzarech l'lamid ba'akors shelo. Again, I love Rav Moshe. I said to the Israelis on Monday night, I love Rav Moshe because all the Hebrew words that like the modern Hebrew words, like, I don't know, Bichlal. So So, like, Moshe always just writes them in English. So, like, it's really, it's all good. Tzitzarech lamed b'hakors shelo inyani dateyem v'havaleyem. I have to teach in my course things that are about other religions that I think are ridiculous. Tzarech l'daber b'lashon shev, if you have to do it, you should speak in a way, again, I'm not speaking halacha mice here, we're just extracting things. Shehem inyani shtus v'hevel, speak about them as if they're ridiculous. Speak about them, you have to, but speak, you can think about them as if they're a little bit ridiculous. He says, first of all, because Gemara says Megillah, kolay tenusa asira bar mitzvah tenusa that vorzara desharia. Gemara says vorzara that you're allowed. You shouldn't mess around and be a late. You shouldn't be a scoffer. I think is the English word. But you are. It's one of those words that we like. You know, is that our school word? Scoffer. Is that
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I don't know, like euphemism. There's a lot of those words that come up. Kolay tenusa asira bar mitzvah tenusa that vorzara. You can mess around with vorzara. You can make fun of vorzara. Open zem butter. But Gam Esther, it could be there's a little bit of twelis in that. When you're making fun of some of the things, which everyone agrees nowadays are shtus, it conveys the following insight, such as Moshe. This is a very sharp insight. It's important to be aware of the fact that there are certain things that in particular eras, they relate to as objective truth, unquestionable truth. And then years later, you look at that, and you turn around and say, that was shtus v'hefel. Sometimes a person gets very caught up in what's very in at that time, and they can get swept up with that, such as Moshe. And part of what's important to remember is that we shouldn't be swept up with some of those things. Torah is nitzchias. It's lasted for dori doro. The fact that everyone right now has a certain belief that's not in line with where Torah is, don't be as short-sighted as to believe that now we've now found complete MS. That's something which over time can definitely change. Rav Moshe writes at the end here. But Lemaisa, still, it's not our place to speak in front of the Umos HaOlam and to rip their religion, to totally attack it, because you have to know your place a little bit. Mitzat Shalom HaMedina, as far as the safety and understanding what it means to be here, Shebechesed Hashem Yisbarach Anusruim Betzila, through the Chesed Rebon Shalom, we are here, B'Shalom V'Shalva, the anu mitzuvim lehispalel b'shloma. We are commanded to daven for America. Mikom makom lidros ahavoyos ha'amim hakadmonim who devar tov shevet tovas b'meila. The religions that are no longer accepted that much, that you should just make fun of and let's say nusa devar zara, that'll be very, very worthwhile. I can't necessarily motion. You have to be there for whatever reason. Again, I'm not talking about Chalam Eisen right now. You have to be there for whatever reason that you have to talk about their religion. It's not our place to be able to attack it the same way. You're in Gullus, and that means that we appreciate where we are, but we don't always feel like we're in the massive majority here to dictate policy on all issues in all schools, in all public schools and things like that. Doesn't mean we can't be involved through the government forever we want, but we don't have that same degree to recognize on some level that we function as a minority. That's the good of America. America gives us freedom of religion. America has given us a safe place. America has given us, has been supportive of us. America has been something which has, again, for many of us, has financially helped to fund our schools. So we would love for yeshiva day schools to get more money and solve tuition crisis. But they still, we are able to recognize a lot of the good. And for Moshe, that's mechayev the degree of akar satov. It's mechayev tefillah l'shlom ha-medina. It's mechayev the degree of akar satov. So says Rav Moshe. But America's tricky also. America's tricky also. And Rav Moshe's nuanced, and he knows America's a little bit tricky. At least you want a drink? Good. Okay. Hi. Do your thing. Okay. This is a very fascinating tshuva in Yerideya Gimel Ayin Aleph. America is a relatively wealthy place. As far as countries in the world, doesn't mean every person here always feels like the wealthy person in the world, even come from America. But America as a whole is a wealthy society. And part of what has happened, and this is a phenomenon which was less true in Europe, and you have fascinating discussions in Bali Machshava about this, is that America has a culture of leisure. So people work very, very hard, and people work harder now than they probably did in the time of Moshe in certain ways. But instead of Moshe, the bracha of America comes with a downside. Bihinei. The Medina Senu Me Rov Ha Bracha Shtasa Semis Baruch Hashbaruch, who gave us tremendous bracha here in America. Yes Ratzon V'Taifa Gedol Hanos Olam Haza. People want to embrace Olam Haza. They want a good life. B'chol Hatan Nugim Shekorin Lazeh. Good time. Says Rav Moshe. That is what people can get here. They want a good time. They want a good time, and they want breaks, and they want leisure. So different Bali Machshava relate to leisure in slightly different ways. The way that one way of viewing it, Rabbi David Stav, in his book Bein Hazmanim, his Hakdama in many ways, or the first chapter, is about this question as to how you relate to leisure and the like. Rav Kook maintained, we know it's Bali Machshava. You know, is there a category called Rishus? Is everything mutter or is everything sorry either chayev or aser? Everything's either if I can do a mitzvah now, I'm chayev to do a mitzvah, and if not, you know, everything's either aveira, not aveira. There's no middle ground. Nothing called rishus. The Chovos Halvavos may sound like that. The Ramchal may sound like that. Rav Kook maintains that the Ravid may disagree about that. That the Ravid may think that there's something called rishus. There's optional times. There are times where, you know what, maybe I could, on some level, do something constructive or positive, but maybe I've already fulfilled a bunch of obligations right now. Maybe it's okay for me to just have leisure, not because I need it, bitula zoe kiyuma, I need to be able to go back and learn more. Maybe there's room for a little bit of a middle ground. That's a fascinating and intriguing question in Bali Machshava. Rav Kook and Ein Hayah suggest, that's pshat in the Machlokas in Meseches Shabbos, about how long Bein Hashmashos is. There's Yom, represents good things. There's Lila, which represents bad things. Machlokas in the Gemara. Is there really a time period called Bein Hashmashos? Or is Bein Hashmashos Keheref Ayin? It right away goes from Yom to Lila. Says Rav Kook, that's the Yisod of Machlokas. Is there really a time that's in between? Is it all just good or bad? And Bein Hashmashos is just Keheref Ayin? It doesn't really exist that much. It's either good or it's bad. And everything in your life, there are certain things that you have to be doing right now. And if you don't, you're doing the wrong thing. No such thing as optional. Or is Bein Hashmashos a middle reality? It's not Yom or Laila, the way that some Achorim say it. It's a din suffik. It's like, it's in between. So what does that mean, it's in between? It means, as Rav Kook, that maybe there is some line in between Yom and Laila. This is part of a much larger discussion about the idea of good times, the idea of leisure, was not a bad conversation to have as far as different perspectives coming up with, as we end later next week, at least for some of us. But that's that. Says Rav Moshe, what do I hold about this? The idea of good times, Gamza Davar Hamikalkel Esa Adam, Mitzachin Margul, Yitro Lit Taivos, Lidvarm Shain Sorapahem, Umash, which says Midos Vashnefach Lachayara. Says Rav Moshe, when you open yourself up to a lot of leisure, and that becomes, and it's one way, I guess maybe I'll say, when that becomes not just something that's even I use to relax sometimes, it becomes like a focal point. Like the ultimate, you know, this is what things are about. And the vacation time is what, it's not the vacation, but my regular time is the main thing. Vacation becomes all about getting the good times and a culture of leisure. Sort of Moshe can destroy a person. It can make a person hedonistic or animalistic. It can make a person, you know, just, it can, so many good midos that you try to cultivate suddenly can go away when you're embracing a certain kind of approach which focuses on leisure. For Moshe, it goes very strong here. First, I need my taiva, so I try to find some roundabout heter to justify what I want to do right now. And then when I can't get that, I build myself, my tolerance, my need for taiva, for more leisure, more leisure, more leisure. That's the point where I can do terrible things. To justify my actions, I can become a heretic. Torah hikpida me'od al kach. Says Rav Moshe, the Torah is makpid on this. Be'ikir b'china chayaladim. K'chazinim midin ben Sor Mora. Ben Sor Mora gets punished in many ways for embracing, this child's an achronim, and Rishonim. For, is it more ninal shem? So for what's the real Maisa Avera that a Ben Sor Mora did? So Rav Moshe, in many ways, the Maisa Avera Ben Sor Mora did is embracing taiva. Basar, yayin, and things like that. For the Ramban al Torah, he violated Kedoshim Tiyu. He's not a person who's behaving appropriately, and taiva is what puts you on the track in many ways of nidon al shem sofa. They get ready. So the freedom and the wealth and the good, but freedom is always a double-edged sword. Freedom gives us the possibility to do a wonderful things. Freedom of religion, we can learn and never be threatened by that, and we're all good to go. The flip side, though, is that the culture of good time, the culture of freedom, means people have choices that they can go in very, very different directions. And people have the freedom. You know, when Jews are persecuted, it's obviously terrible, but you're always reminded you're a Jew and you always have to be on some level part of the Jewish community. Once there's the freedom, which is a bracha and the chesed of America, Moshe would say, it does open up doors in a bit of a different place. Moshe is another fear about America, and it's one that we spoke about earlier, when he critiques it for an additional reason. And this, again, especially when you view the time that Moshe is talking in, this is Nigrish Moshe in Or HaChaim Dalet Samech Beis. It's a shy about Zmanim in America. Zmanim is not often, I like to joke, you know, Zmanim is up there with Diktuk as far as the areas of Halacha that do not necessarily get the crowds. Like, you know, you want like a sheer topic that's going to like draw lots of people out. So your topic's going to be like, if I give a sheer on calculating the Zman of Rabbeinu Tam, you know, I don't know if the masses are coming out for that. It's not as exciting as like women rabbis, you know, in its time. Like, I don't know. It's not like, whoa, really? Rabbeinu Tam? Oh, wow. I'm in. You know, like, you don't have that many people that are like signing up for that. Like, wait, can you also have Diktuk in there? Could we just go for like the home run? Like, I don't know what else you would have in there. And I don't want to say anything else because I feel like I'm already making fun of certain sections of Torah, which is probably not ideal. Or is not ideal. So I'm just going to move on. Although I have other things on my list, if you're wondering. So most of us know, what are the Zmanim in America? Like, what are the Zmanim? What are the Zmanim? When do you have to start Shabbos, when not? In Europe, there are different machlokim as far as when Shkia is and when Seis is. Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim and the Gra, and the different things there, which we're not going to talk about, even though this stuff happens to be actually important, so you know if you're like Yotzei Mincha. But says Moshe, I like this. I think we should be Machmir for a bunch of different sheets, especially in the beginning of the Tshuva. Why? The Kol Shkain Shiesus Nai came Bekan America. Sheskapsu Kan Mikol Medina, Bechol Ir Mi Arma Gedolos. In Europe, things were pretty static. Certain communities had been there for a long time, and they had their community Minhagim. Minhag HaMakom. And suddenly now in America, Minhag HaMakom, it's not there as much, because people are coming from all over the place. And they're all coming to the same communities. There's Kol Shekein in New York, in Brooklyn, She'ika Harbei Mikol Makom, U'makom Shemei Arayi L'Hach. When people come to different places, it may be safer and wiser to be Machmir, because they all come to this place with Machmir, and this place, Machmir, and this. Just to be Machmir as far as this Ma'am goes. And even if you want to argue that L'maisa, there's no Isser of Losis go to do. There's no prohibition of different people doing different things. So, Gimus Akhtiv Amas Daf Yadalit. There's no prohibition of different people doing different things. Because you have different, but they didn't. But the Cassio says, Moshe as follows. Mikol makom esher lavot takala mizet b'medina zo b'yoser. Having different people do different things sometimes in America can cause tremendous, it can be very complicated. Shahanias b'tora hu kemat b'ruba d'ruba. The poverty in Torah is like in the vast majority. Even the Talmidei Chachamim here in America, they can't paskin. They're not even like shayach to the world of psak. They can't even answer the easy questions here in America, let alone the difficult ones. So, this is America. You've lost in America's of Moshe a certain continuity. These are our minhagim. These are our minhagim. That's why you have a shayla. This is something that Rav Shechter writes in an article in the Beis Yitzchak. A shayla you have is like, there's something called minhag mishpacha. There's something called minhag hamakom. Probably those both exist. Those are sugyas mesachas psachim. You probably have both those categories exist. It wasn't always clear which things are minhag hamakom and which things are minhag mishpacha. Because sometimes German Jews, their families were also in Germany. So how long do they wait after Flesher? Say 3 hours. Is that a minhag hamakom? It's a function of Germany or a function of mishpacha? It's hard to know because when they're in Germany, they're always with their families. That's generations. So now they come to America. So is that a minhag hamakom, in which case maybe they shouldn't be keeping 3 hours? Or minhag mishpacha, in which case they do still keep 3 hours. Minhag olam is that they keep, I think, 3 hours. I think that's the dominant minhag. But that's all a shayla in America. So one thing we lost, says Rav Moshe, is a continuity as far as things being passed on, you know, door achar door. But also, they're just amharatzim. Even the rabbis don't know anything. It's not true, again, we're speaking of the way Rav Moshe describes it in that era. And obviously Rav Moshe is like, lo shayach l'nani hora is probably different than like, our lo shayach l'nani hora, you know, Rav Moshe was like really, really good at Torah. So there's like but Rav Moshe's highlighting right now is the scene as far as how he witnesses it there is one in which they're really not so knowledgeable. He says also, he says the same thing in Evan Ezer and Aleph Ayin Zion, af shehacha lekel miti bedin, he has a certain shayach about a kiddushin that was done in a reformed temple. Look at it right now. Again, it's English. Bishnis Kacha, the temple shell reformer. So Rav Moshe there talks about is it or is not, but one thing he points out at the end of the tshuva,
the average American doesn't even know like simple basic things. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know things. And then it's true with people who identify as Orthodox. They don't know anything, says Moshe.
So for Moshe, let me just try and like and give a little bit of an overview, and maybe we'll update things as far as where America's at now. But what Moshe is describing is as follows. You enter America, beginning section of the 20th century, American Jewry's era of, you know, in observance. It's not a great place. The last ktos, you know, it's not awesome at all. The 49th, you know, Memtesh Shari Tumah, in that editorial from the paper that Rav Tzadok Feivel put out, that's where Klal Yisrael is holding. What happens is, Rav Moshe comes in, and Rav Moshe sees America, and America's evolving all the time, but the Rav Moshe, the America that he presents, is an America which we have to have tremendous hakaras hatov for, to appreciate that which they do, says Rav Moshe, to daven for their success, to appreciate the fact that kol matarasa is to help. That is its core, found is predicated in that principle, by the people, for the people. That what we're looking for is something which is going to be able to provide for others. The queen is great also, I know. You just want to drink, you don't really care about the royal family. And what you get for Moshe, though, is that freedom and success gives enormous opportunity but comes with risks. The risks it comes with are too much of an emphasis on certain ideas of taiva, an environment which may not always be as supportive or as understanding as far as Torah values, one that may not be as knowledgeable the people there that were in the past. The America that those of us that are from America, the America that we grew up in, the America that those of us are going back are familiar with, is a different scene than the one that is the first half of the 20th century in America. It's a different scene. Orthodoxy is much stronger in a certain sense. The from world is more powerful. There's Sfarim store. You can go to communities of Sfarim. There are yeshivas. There are many Talmid Chachamim. It's an incredible place, and it's very, very different. What caused that to happen? So a lot of that is the leadership of a variety of unbelievable people and a whole lot of others that are willing to be Moser Nefesh as a result. A whole lot of others that are willing to be Moser Nefesh. But there's a lot of... Rav Moshe did in his own way with the Lubavitch Rebbe and Avraham Kuller and the Satmar Rebbe and the Rav and Rav Kamenetsky and Rav Tzadok Feivel all did in their own ways, and I'm not leaving anyone... Rav Huttner, I don't know, like lots of other people. Rav Ruderman, on the stop right now. A lot of people who like... Double Leibowitz for the Chafetz Chaim people, you know, what a lot of people have done for America as far as building America and cultivating it, a place of Makom Torah, that's certainly there. So if we're looking at Rav Moshe through our lens, I think there's much more Torah knowledge amongst a portion of American Jewry is wonderful, and there's definitely a lot of people who know things. Elements of Rav Moshe's take on America, though, if you're asking me, are still real. They're still real. The freedom is great. We have freedom of religion. We can worship. Supreme Court this past week, at least continue to give certain elements of that right to continue, at least it's more narrow ruling. But we have freedom of religion. We can sit in Batei Medrash and learn all day, and that's wonderful. We have a government which provides a variety of programs, which are very nice, and more importantly, provides us the opportunity to also work and make our own living and to be able to have access to lots of different kinds of jobs and professions and things like that, which is a very powerful thing. It's awesome. Some of the critiques of Moshe in America, though, are real. The culture of leisure, which is something that we need, but Moshe highlights here, when leisure becomes the focus, when the focus is always about the downtime and never about the value and productivity of the on time, it's like when a person's time in yeshiva, when they reflect for a second, and it's always, not that we don't love Shabbos, and not that we don't love breaks, but when the whole point of the year is like Ben Azmanim, so then like, you know, there's something, the week to, the Sunday through Friday morning time, those are Iker times for really building us. Those are Iker times for really, really building us. Leisure is great, and to be able to relax a bit is great, and to be able to know how to do that well is great. But when that becomes like a focal point, so Rav Moshe here is critiquing it very, very strong, the leisure as a whole, and this thing to be aware of. And in a society which freedom always comes with challenges. Freedom means we have choices,
But choices mean that there are different possibilities out there. And it's an American Jewry in a way which is very disappointing, that many of our brethren, non-Orthodox, chose the approach of intermarriage and assimilation, and many of them are not in a great place. So that the freedom is awesome, and it's allowed a community, an Orthodox community, to grow. That freedom's created certain challenges for all of Jewry kichlal, and part of what we want to be able to do, be it from here in Eretz Yisrael, be it from England if we're going to be there, be it from America if we're going to be there, is to be the kinds of people that know for ourselves how to have hakaras hatov and how to take advantage of the good, freedom, openness, the quality talmud Torah in the places that we're going to be aware of some of the risks of freedom, but more so even to do what we can to think about those who didn't embrace the freedom in a positive way, and to just remind ourselves to influence in as positive a way as we possibly can, to be able that Klal Yisrael should be as successful as possible. We've tried in this thought as a whole to introduce ourselves to the world of Rav Moshe Feinstein, the way he viewed things, leadership and responsibility, women's issues, what it means to be a Jew, and that's how sin, the impact of chet on a Jew status. We've seen a lot of important things here about Rav Moshe. We can obviously speak about Rav Moshe much more, but hopefully we've had the opportunity to appreciate who he was and to be able to derive insight from Rav Moshe. The way he looked at the world is something which is very, very powerful and something which I think is very, very relevant for all of us. Shkayach, have a wonderful Shabbos.